Hey, y'all. My name is Ann Wyatt. I started my career in workforce development with the state of Kentucky in 2010. That experience ignited a deep passion for manufacturing within me. I started this show hoping to raise more awareness around the bright outlook manufacturing careers have. Join me as I sit down with some of the manufacturing industry's most successful change makers and learn how they're partnering people with technology. It's time to give people more meaningful work. This is Workforce 4.0. Hey, y'all. Welcome to another episode of Workforce 4.0. I'm so stoked, you all, because I have the one and the only Amber Wilborn on with us today from TW Controls. Amber!
It's so good to see you!
Like, this is a very special episode of Workforce 4.0 because I, of course, like, we're good friends, and it's nice to always have good friends on the show, and it's great having you here today. You've helped me along in my journey so much over the past few years, and I'm honored and blessed to call you a friend. And I'm hoping that you will also divulge some of that motherly advice that you give to me onto our listeners today as well.
Awesome. I would love to.
But for those that maybe have not heard of the infamous Amber Wilborn, which is a tragedy, by the way, what are you people doing? If you've not heard of Amber, go follow her immediately. But for those that may not know who you are in the industry sector, tell us a little bit more about yourself.
I own TW Controls with my husband, Tim. And Tim is very noticeable in this industry because of our very fun and very popular YouTube channel. It's funny, he started that YouTube channel just to help maintenance technicians in a pinch in the middle of the night. And it started becoming like our little educational guru. And that's why he's so noticeable. So he's very popular in that sector. But we've done quite a few things in the industry over the years. But I think my most favorite thing we're doing now is helping those out there become better technicians through our instructional teaching and troubleshooting classes that we offer now. And I love it because the people that come into the class, when you get to Friday, you can just see that they've gained all this knowledge and they're ready to go tackle whatever is given to them, plant or with their own businesses. And so it just warms my heart. And I really love that that's what we do now. We also build trainers for those that want to train on their own or educate themselves, but also for mostly tech schools all across the US of A right now. And our students come from everywhere. They come from California, as far as California, Texas, Minnesota, Michigan. We've had a couple from Canada, and it's just, we've been doing it for 3 years now, and I think that's the most rewarding part of being a business owner right now.
Oh, I love that. Yeah, all over the world.
Yeah, true.
Yeah, of course you two are iconic in the industry, in the creator space. And we love Tim too. Tim, if you're listening, we love you too. We are not totally out to give you grief today. We do love you and appreciate what you do for the industry. I've just got to hold it down for my girl. But yeah, that's an amazing service. Super popular. I remember when we were up in Holland, Michigan, and we were touring the Mission Automation plant. And one of the technicians or controls engineers was at his cubicle on the plant floor, and he had rigged up this whole lighting setup and made the lights do all the fun stuff. It was really cool. So I was walking next to Tim during that tour, and Tim like peels off. He sees it and he peels off. And then my ADHD brain, I'm like, ooh, lights. So we're just like walking over there. And the controls engineer, he looks up at Tim and he's, oh my God, you're Tim Wilborn.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I looked up at Tim and I was like, Are you Tim Wilborn?
Yeah.
But that was a lot,
especially at trade shows.
That was a really cool story. And Amber, I was just like, oh, wow. Like, how impactful is that? You know,
he's very humble, and I don't think he understands the impact he makes. When we were at IMTS, we were down in the education part of it, and we had a group of high schoolers that kind of geeked out for a moment and asked if they could take a picture with him and just appreciated him for all that he's taught them through YouTube. And I think that was probably his big moment to date. It's just special moments like that where I'm like, oh my gosh. And he's got such a big brain. He's so smart. And I think that's what I love most about him.
I love that. But yeah, that's amazing. It's so awesome to be around you all. I really feel like you are manufacturing mom and dad. Like whenever I'm with you, I'm like, you're my manufacturing mother. And Tim's like our manufacturing dad. So it's always good vibes and good energy. I've got to ask you, as part of the Workforce 4.0 tradition here, and we've actually been on a karaoke venture.
Yes.
That was the first, that's how we met. For those wondering how Amber and I met, we met at a karaoke bar.
In Charlotte, North Carolina.
In Charlotte, North Carolina. And from there, it just clicked. It was magic. It's like Amber. And Amber was like, Ann. But it was just, it's been a love story ever since. And I have to ask you though, if we were going back to a karaoke bar and we were doing karaoke, which is inevitable, this will happen again. What song are you going to sing?
I've got to go with what I did that night and rap Baby Got Back.
Yes!
Because so that is the only rap song that I know all the lyrics to it. And I am ADHD as well. So like I have a hard time with remembering, like I can sing along to a song or harmonize with the song, but I can't for real legit sing it, even if the words are popped up there, because I'm too much in my head about my pitch or if I'm remembering the right tone or so yeah, it's got to be Baby really Got Back.
I totally get that. I've got to rehearse. Anytime I do karaoke, I like rehearse a little bit because I get the same way and then like I'll spaz out real bad.
It's just too much pressure on me, but I love to go and watch you guys.
That was a good one though. I remember that night and that was really good. You, I think you had everybody pretty excited with that. Of course, I think that's like our generation. Just if you don't know the words to that song. Yes. Like where have you been though? For real.
Yeah. And I think I'm concerned. Brandon Ferris there too. Brandon was there.
Yes, Brandon Ferris was there. Did you see him at IMTS? He was there.
I did. I got to talk to him. It was really good to see him and catch up.
Good. Yeah.
I loved it. Good.
Yeah. Brandon Ferris was there and Jason Bean.
That's right. Oh my God. I forgot.
And I kept trying to convince Jason to get up stage and do karaoke. He wouldn't do it. And I was like, Jason, come on, you've got to.
I get it. Oh, gosh, I haven't seen him in a minute. What a great soul.
He is. He's a good one for sure.
Oh, yeah.
For sure. But yeah, good times. And I'm hoping to do that in 2025 with you as well.
Get me drunk.
Yes.
Feed me and get me drunk and we're good to go.
I can do that. I can do that.
No, you can.
Absolutely.
Maybe Tim and I should sing Islands in the Stream.
Oh, yeah.
Do a little duo or something. I think he'd be down for that. Mom and Dad can get up there and sing a classic.
I would bring my lighter and just... I'd be front row. I'd be like, you go, guys. You go, guys. Oh, y'all.
That's awesome. That's why I love you so much. Oh, now I've got the giggles.
Good. This is going to be a fun episode, so I'm glad.
Absolutely.
If you're laughing already, we're good.
Yeah, exactly.
It's the way it's in the South. It's the way God intended.
That's right. We're just out here doing the Lord's work.
That's right.
That's right.
Blessed be.
Blessed be. Bless your heart.
But yeah, no, I wanted to have you on the show today, not only to share this laughter and this joy and this just positivity that when I think of positivity and mentor and just the light, I'm like, it is Amber Wilborn. But I know that you have been in the industry for some time, and I always think there's so much value in having veterans of the industry on the show and talking to them about how we've changed and how we've grown together and maybe what challenges we have left to over for the future of work and the workforce. But I've got to ask you, with all this great experience that you've gained over the years, certainly as a co-business owner, certainly as a woman in this industry, I've got to know, like, how has the workforce culture and manufacturing, like, how was it then versus what we see today?
I will tell you, it has changed quite a bit. I've been in it for 20 years and I grew up in this industry. So I tried very hard to get away from it. This is in my blood. It's in Tim's blood. And I will tell you, from the time I started, it was the little comments of, hey, shouldn't you be at home cooking dinner or barefoot in the kitchen? Or, oh, you must do the accounting with your company. And it was just small little things like that from uneducated people. And my husband would always back me up and take my side and be like, actually, she's the owner of the business. I do the accounting, which is actually true. He does do the accounting, thank God. But it was one of those things where you were just, it didn't make me angry. It made me just want to make sure that future people in this industry are educated more about women being in manufacturing. And I felt very alone when we first started the business, because now I have this incredible community like you and other women, whereas we didn't have much of any community at all, even like just us being a husband and wife business owned company. Now, and I don't know if it's because of LinkedIn or the dumpster fire of 2020, but we have such a great community of friendship, friends in manufacturing, different facets of manufacturing. And also we know other husband and wife owned companies, and it's been very comforting. But I wish when we had started out that we had something like that, or we had somebody to mentor us through not only being married and being business owners, but also being married in manufacturing, because it can be very difficult when you don't understand or you don't have those people supporting you. And I feel like the gender ratio has changed quite a bit. It's not that even, Mark, but we are close. And there's definitely more diversity and gender, age, and race now than there was 20 or 30 years ago. And that's what gets me excited and keeps me very much proud of manufacturing.
Very cool. Yeah, I think that there's a lot of challenges. I would imagine, I don't know for sure, but I would think that there would be a lot of challenges with having a company with someone and being that equal partner, because I would almost worry, like, how do you separate that out? And I think you and Tim just do it so well together, and it really comes across as a true partnership when you're sitting back and watching that from the outside perspective. But that's great news. I think that we have found each other. I appreciate the friendship that we have for sure. 100%. And I don't know if it was the dumpster fire either of 2020, but we're here. Sometimes I'm like, that's all that matters. But it's been amazing getting to know you and then having that support and like really being able to like lean into each other for that business advice is so important as well.
Yes, I agree.
You think that the gender gap is shrinking? I think so.
Oh yeah, I've seen it. I remember starting out and being just so nervous because it was very male dominating, but also that's nobody's fault. We look at the history of the Industrial Revolution, and yes, we had our Rosies out there working on the airplanes, but as soon as the men came back from war, the Industrial Revolution started. It was the men. Society put this thing on men that they were the breadwinners, that they had to make the money, and the women stayed home and took care of the home and the children, when it's society's fault. It's no one person's fault. And so I have seen in the past years, there several years I've been doing this, is the culture, as you say, is getting better. The culture is changing. The culture is adapting. And it's just such a thrill to watch it unfold before me. And I can say to women who are starting out in manufacturing now, it is nothing compared to what I have seen. It has changed and it's getting better, but also just be patient because we're a little bit on a slow route to get to where we need to be, but we're getting there. And I think that's exciting.
I think it's great. I think over the last 10 years, I can see some improvements. And I think change is necessary. Change is happening for sure. I don't think that quick change is ever good. I don't know if that makes sense, but like, well, change takes time.
That is exactly right. You nailed it.
So I would rather it take a little bit of a time, and I would rather win the war and not the battle.
Exactly. And it is all about the impact that you are leaving behind. You are, and this is not to like put any stress on anybody, but we are leaving an impact for that next generation that's coming up behind us. We have to be the reason that it's easier to get into manufacturing. We have to be the reason that we are educating individuals to get into manufacturing. We have to be the reason to start mentorships and apprenticeships. So these kids that are out there, they don't know what they want to do after high school or what college they want to go to, but they can pick up a trade or some type of manufacturing and go to school later or be out of debt. That's the impact we need to make right now, is we need to tell them it's okay not to go to a four-year university. And if you do want to go to one, this can be your part-time job so you can make little money on the side. But we've got to be more available to this generation. We have to be more willing to mentor them or to set up these apprenticeships for them and not be scared of failure or, well, what if they don't make it through the apprenticeship? These are the chances we need to take with these individuals.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I've had some other guests on the show that they have a very strong mentorship program, apprenticeship in their company organization, and they practice that. And he brought up the same point, if I remember correctly. He was talking about a lot of companies are afraid to stick their necks out there and say, what if they don't make it through the apprenticeship, or what if they quit? And he actually gave some statistics on what they're doing with his company, which he is the president, has been the president for a long time. So you may, I think we know, both know this person.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I listened and it was very good.
And he's a like just outstanding human anyway, but he brought receipts of metrics stating this is how many people we have in the apprenticeship program and this is how many graduates we have. And yes, we lose some, yes, but that's okay.
Also, if you're taking a chance on someone right out of high school and you are going to set them up with that apprenticeship program and you're going to have a mentor with them, he's right. You're probably going to see that you're going to have a very loyal employee for life who is going to do the next generation, or he's going to be a mentor to the next generation when you set that up again. Like, we've got to keep doing that. And I don't want it to be just a few global companies or a few local companies. Everybody needs to get on board. We are hurting very badly because, yes, there's a gap, and I get that, but it's an educational gap. It is not an age gap. We are not providing enough for these kids, and it's hurting us, and it's going to hurt our economy when it comes to manufacturing. So I totally agree. If you get them in there, you will have a long-lasting, loyal employee, no doubt. And I've seen it.
Yeah, Absolutely. And I think it's not to say, I know no one ever wants to go into it thinking about, I'm just helping my competition. But if you, in this case, I think if you're helping your competition, you're helping yourself. You're helping everyone. It's like that old saying, a rising tide lifts all ships. And that's, I think, consequential at this point for an economy.
And I think we need to take, I think we need to take competitor out of our vocabulary and insert collaboration or collaborator. Because if you find yourself not competing with your neighbor or somebody else, and it's more of a collaboration, you will have better results. Absolutely. We have seen that just as a small business company, when we have collaborated with other companies to make sure that when we have these maintenance technicians come into our classroom, or electricians or engineers, whoever's coming, when they come into our classrooms, they don't see just one product. They see all of it, or what they will expect on the floor when they are going back to work. So I think we just need to change competitor to collaborator, because it will help. And again, I've seen the benefits of that.
I love that so much. Yeah, and but it's a whole industry shift. It's a whole mentality shift. And I'm just working in recruiting and working with companies, and I'm sure you see this too. It's sometimes I feel like it's an uphill battle.
Yeah, so it can be. It is. And I think, again, we just need to change our language or the way that we're working with others. And we're all in the same race. We're all in the same boat. It's just, we need to learn to trust one another and know that we are, it's not a dying economy, but we need some help.
Okay. So when you said that, I like was laughing, and I've got to tell you, because like how my, and you will appreciate this because you're like one of very few people I think that knows how my brain works. But so you said that, and I had a flashback to I used to be like this person, right? You pay extra for the plane ticket so you can board the plane earlier. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So you're like, oh, I'm going to board the plane earlier. I don't want to wait in line, whatever. So I used to be that person. Mm-hmm. I used to be that person. I'm not going to lie to you. So now when I travel, I will book the cheapest seat. I don't care. I think the Southwest is like, want to get away. I don't know what it is. I'm like, yeah, sounds good to me. And then I will be boarding last, and I will look around me and I will see all these people just get really antsy and really all up in arms about waiting in line and all that. And and I'm like, y'all got to calm down. We are all going to Chicago.
Yeah, we're going to land at the same time. We're all going to get off the flight at the same time.
And I feel like that's the analogy that you're saying.
It is very true. We're all on the same plane, and we're all going to get there at the same time. Yeah, I feel like that should, girl, put that on a t-shirt.
May have to,
because that's perfect. It's just stop. I don't want to say, and this is women and men, just stop being pricks. Let's just work together and figure it out. Because when you do that, you're going to make money.
Yeah. I don't think anybody's going to lose in this case.
No.
The numbers are there. If you really think about it. Yeah. Stop being pricks. Absolutely. As a veteran of the industry, as a female, bona fide girl boss yourself, kudos. What does that mean to you? And do you see that?
I do see it. And you made me see it today, which I'm grateful for. That meant a lot to me. Sometimes you can sit here and speak until you're blue in the face, and you're like, and you wonder, is anybody listening? Is anybody really taking in what I'm saying? Because I do have good thoughts and I do have good advice. It may not work for everybody, but in best business practices, I am a veteran, especially in manufacturing, and I'm definitely a girl boss. So thank you for that. But I hope I can and have been able to equip other women and even men in this industry to keep going and don't stop. If you fail, good job. Fail again and again, because you will not ever learn anything if you do not learn from your mistakes. If anybody has taught me that, it's my husband. And I think we even have a sign in our classroom or in our lab that says, if you're not making mistakes, then you're not trying hard enough. And I think I'm serious. You've got to fail and learn from it and be proud of that failure. I think also our stories matter. And even if it's the smallest story of how you got started in manufacturing or in any industry, your story matters. And somebody can relate to your story, or they could go on to the next person and find the next story. When we started, we had many facets to what we were doing. We just didn't do that one thing. We tried everything because we were curious and we wanted to learn. Again, education. And so
I feel seen.
You know, I mean, you've got to dip into a few little things to figure out either what your niche is or to get educated. And I think switching it up, keeps us on that educated level and experience, so we can be more beneficial to others in either industry, manufacturing, or best business practices. I think I'm very involved with Rotary locally and internationally. And the one thing they say is your stories matter. They want to hear your Rotary story. So I want to hear your manufacturing story or your industry story, because you are going to be able to relate to somebody else, or you might be able to help that person get to the next level. And our story is, I was 8 months pregnant with our son, Michael, and we both quit our jobs and started TW Controls. I had Michael. We had $5 in our account, but we had good people in our life that were sending food and formula and UPS truck full of diapers, which I cried all day. But think starting in those humble ways, that's why we are so passionate about helping others. And we always will be, because in our time of need, somebody helped us. So we want to be there in everybody else's time of need as well.
I love that so much. And I know you guys do a lot of ministry work too. And this is off the script here of the questions, but done some ministry work and digging wells and all kinds of awesome stuff that I wish you all would talk about that a little bit more sometimes, because it's so good for the soul. And when I think about the Wilburns, I'm like, chicken noodle soup, good for the soul. I think I texted that last night.
Oh my God, I've never done
pretty sure
that.
I texted that to you last night. But even just always finding those little ways or bigger ways or whatever way you can find to pay it forward.
Oh, of course. And I don't think it should be like a pat on the back when you do something in your local community or far away. It's more of, it's a feeling. It's when you do something for somebody else. I repaired a well in the middle of Western Ghana in Africa, and it was hot and it was gross. And all we had was a charcoal stove, and that's how they got the pipes back together to put it down so we could fix this little tiny little pump. But
Did they heat the pipes up?
Yes. And so it would adhese to, like, the pipes would adhese to one another. And it was like 100 feet of piping that you had to get back down into the well. But we had to take all of that out in order to fix this tiny little mechanism, which was the pump, in order for the water to come up. And I loved every moment of that. And everybody was thanking me for helping. And I was like, thank me. Thank you for giving me the experience of actually hands-on doing something with a purpose, and or seeing a well get dug, or helping with disaster relief from the latest Hurricane Helene.
Oh, it's gosh.
Things like that, knowing that people you love were impacted by such a huge, crazy storm. It's like these are the moments I live for. And the fact that we have the means to give back it's emotional. It makes me excited, and I'm emotional, and I will keep doing it until I can't do it anymore.
I love that. I think it's such a good, it's not only a good like learning experience, it's just the enrichment. It's the soul enrichment.
It is. That's a great way of putting it.
Of service like that.
It is soul enrichment. It's just good for my soul. And it should be good for anybody's soul. And it doesn't have to be money driven. You know, you can just go out there and paint a ballpark and still get the same feeling. And I don't know. I just love it. I love it.
I love that too. Yeah. I think that's, when I look around at like great leaders, so you think about like philanthropy and things like that. And those two things seem to align well. I feel like some of the best leaders in our lifetime, or maybe even our predecessors, were philanthropists at heart in some way, maybe not financially driven, like you're saying, but definitely big on acts of service, big on giving back, and big on seeking that soul enrichment and paying it forward for those around them to make the world a better place. And that's, I really true. Think that manufacturing could take some lessons from that. How are we making the workforce a better place where our children want to come work? How are we making our facilities places where our children want to work and their children? And what legacy are we making? And what is my role in leaving that legacy? I think about these things a lot, Amber.
Oh, I do too. And a great example of a company that does that now is Phoenix Contacts. They are great at that. They have their entrepreneurships, they have family days, they're out there in their communities or abroad, and I love it.
I love them too. I'm glad you were name dropping. I was trying not to. I was like, because everybody's, oh, you're just obsessed with Phoenix Contact. And I'm like, why would you not be? Are you seeing what they're doing? But yeah, they're the company with the apprenticeship that I was talking about. That they're always giving back to the community. Their leadership is just, I don't even know. Like,
it's outstanding. They've done a really good job.
Just inspirational, again, just good for the soul.
Oh, yeah.
How can other industry leaders, from your point of view, continue to make gains in advancing their culture for workforce environments, regarding women, or really anyone, next generation of the workforce?
I think you need to have the right leaders in the right positions. Sometimes leadership can be looked upon as almost a boss, or somebody that micromanages, and that's not exactly true. Taking a deep dive into the meaning of leadership here lately, because I think it's been construed over the years. A good leader is somebody that's going to put his people before him and let them shine before he even takes the credit. A good leader is somebody that's going to motivate you to be your best self. A good leader is somebody that will encourage you when you think you're failing. They're going to encourage you to make you feel like you're excelling. So I think instead of being a micromanager, maybe just be a human. And I think that's been neglected for some years now. We have a lot of good leaders, even within our manufacturing facilities, within this industry, that we're not looking to raise them up and let them be leaders and let them encourage their people. And again, put them before himself or herself. And I think if you have a good leader, I think you're going to see your business succeed, even with these entrepreneurships or helping your community out or being philanthropic. I think we need to look at our leaders and really just figure out if that's where they need to be. Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And I want to put that on a t-shirt as well. Like, instead of leadership, just instead of being a leader, just be human.
Just be a human. Like, you don't need to micromanage everything that everybody's doing. Now, do we need micromanagers? Oh, yes, we do. Because you've got to have somebody that's on top of everything. And I do think we need them. I just don't think they need to be leaders.
I am not a micromanager. It is just not in my personality. It's not in my personality. Even with Phoenix, my parenting style is like, have you seen those reels? And it's talking about like how like these younger kids and they're like, oh, your parents used to let you drink out of a water hose.
Oh, I drank out of a water hose.
I drank out of a water hose too. Let me tell you, my brother was walking home from school 2 miles away in like elementary school. And that's just what you did. And and even with Phoenix, he runs around, he's a fresh eight. He's running around this neighborhood with all these kids. They just group up together. He just runs these streets.
That's his
and I'm
community.
Like, where's Phoenix? That's his community.
That's his community.
Like, where did Phoenix go? And he's still young enough where he gets like bored or he comes home. So he's never gone like too long. Or whatever, and he's usually they just all run in this group, and yeah, if he gets hurt, one comes running into me and is Miss Wyatt, Phoenix hurt himself.
Brush it off, you'll be fine.
Yeah, I think in other places, if people were to hear me say that, they'd be like, "Oh my God, he's eight, he's a child."
No, you have a safe neighborhood. You have to read the room when it comes to our kids, and I don't micromanage our kids either. But I'm telling you, God bless the micromanagers out there because they make me tired, we need them. But again, they don't need to be a general manager or a major CEO of the company. There's a reason why you hire people. There's a reason why you put people in certain positions. So you can be the leader and all that you can be. Let them do their thing. They got you. Just let them do it. And yeah, but God bless the micromanagers because I watch them and I get so tired.
It's like I said, now Phoenix is feral. So if that tells you, I'm very tired.
He might be a micromanager because Lord, they are feral.
Might be very good. He might be a very good hire micromanager one day.
Yeah, you never know.
Micromanages me. He's, hey, did you sign my homework?
Yeah.
Did you do this? Can you pack me this? Can you do that? Do you remember this?
Yeah.
Yes.
My kids like that now. Thank God.
Thank God. Yeah, I remember that as I'm like logging off work at 5:30, 6 o'clock. What are we having for supper? Did you thaw something out?
Cereal.
No. As my brother would say, that's why God invented General Mills.
I love it. He ain't wrong. Okay, he ain't wrong. I had some cereal last night for dinner.
It do happen. It do be like that sometimes.
It do be like that.
It's just facts, folks. Look, it just is what it is. But speaking of the next generations of the manufacturing workforce, if you had the opportunity to sit down, and you do often, I think, get this chance, but what would you tell the future generations of maybe like the female workforce in manufacturing or those other aspiring young baby girl bosses out there? What advice would you leave them with?
The first thing I would say is find a mentor. First and foremost, find you a mentor. Now, that's not me and that's not Ann because we got ish to do, but find you a good mentor. It'll make a world of difference. Somebody you can go to that's not your family, that's not a good friend, somebody that's in the same industry, manufacturing, whatever you choose. That one person that can help you along the way as you're growing into this person or into your position in manufacturing or whatever you're trying, you will have that one person by your side. The next thing I would say is find a community. We suffered because we did not have a community when we first started out, and it was so desperately needed. And looking back now, it would have been helpful to find a community in our industry that was doing the same things we were doing. Did we have good friends? Oh my gosh, we did. Jeff Kuiper is one of them. Yes, I totally name dropped. He is magnificent and we consider him family. It's like he also needed that community as well. Always have the desire to learn something new. every day, every month, whenever you can, keep yourself updated on the latest technology or the latest on what's going on in your manufacturing floor. Look to your mentor for that as well, or your community, and give yourself a pass on making mistakes. It's really the only way you're going to learn and keep yourself educated. I support you in your mistake-making life.
And at least you can check that off the box. I have really bad curiosity problems. So I'm like, I wonder if that'll work. And I'm like,
that is not a problem, bro. You need to stay curious.
That's right.
That is your superpower. Yeah.
I love that. I feel like that's the top takeaway.
Stay curious.
Stay curious.
Own it.
Amber, as always, I love talking to you. I adore you so much. For those that maybe are listening today that also want to connect with you and just be in your amazing presence, it really is just the best. What is a good point of contact for you?
Oh, LinkedIn. Just enter my name. Facebook, or some of my older friends call the book face. Just enter my name. And
best face.
Yep. And I'm a big fan of the Insta. So find me on Instagram. Because I love to send my girls memes and reels. Listen, I think
I live for that. I live for your reels.
I live for yours.
Please don't ever stop sending me reels because I need them.
I will not stop sending them. I promise. Hit me up. I would love to. I love meeting new people. And again, I am not up for being a mentor right now. I got my hands full.
At least you're honest. I would say yes, because I would absolutely genuinely want to do it. And then it would just be a cascade of just storm over here. And then
I've started to get the name of the No Care Bear, because I am beginning to say no to so many things, and I'm owning it. But yeah, I'm the No Care Bear. I care about you.
I'm proud of you.
But no.
I need to learn how to say no. You've helped me. You've helped me a lot. You've helped me a lot. Emily Wilkins has helped me a lot. My name is no. My sign is no. The answer is
no. Just no. It's a one syllable word I do not have a problem with.
It's a complete sentence.
It is. It's a complete sentence. This is so true. Look at us. Look at us ADHDers coming up with the good facts.
This is why we make content.
This is why we make content. Also, a reminder so I can go back and watch it and be like, remember, you said you're the No Care Bear. I've got to remember that.
I'm here for it. I'm here for you being the No Care Bear. I aspire to also be a No Care Bear. Because I feel like that's the only way to dig myself out of the things that I've already committed to, just get the things that I've committed to done by saying no and focusing on the things. And then maybe then I can get out of those things and I can get into those things that I said no to or something else.
And to give credit where credit is due, I did not come up with the No Care Bear thing. That was an Emily Merritt thing. So props to Emily for the No Care Bear. Because I was like, I'm going to take that. That's mine now. Yeah. But yeah, she's the one that came up with it. And I was like, I love it. I'm going to run with it.
I love it too. Good job, Emily. Solid job. All right, everybody. Thank you so much for joining us today on this special season finale of Workforce 4.0. We've really enjoyed this season. I've really enjoyed the season and making this for you all. If you have a few minutes and you want to write me a quick review, please do. Otherwise, Amber, thank you for joining us. And we will see you all for season 7 beginning in January.